This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and writing in children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The chief of the Environmental Protection Agency told Congress in 2010, quote, "The science behind climate change is settled, and human activity is responsible for global warming," close quote. He sounded like he thought he was Moses coming down from the mountain to give us the final word on the future. However, a new book by Steve Gorham called The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism says that the very nature of science is that nothing is ever settled, and new evidence must always be subjected to debate and peer review. Climatism is the word for the belief that man-made greenhouse gases are destroying Earth's climate. Climatists continue to claim that warming trends exist and that we humans are responsible for it. Scientific evidence shows that warming trends occur naturally. Climate change is real and continuous. Winter storms, summer heat, drought, hurricanes, tornadoes, and tsunamis are all blamed by these scientists on man's misuse of the planet. Extreme weather events are used to push expensive policies on the public. Freedom and capitalism are not compatible with the doctrine of environmental sustainability, which calls for these elites to direct the activities of mankind to preserve the planet. Government subsidies, tax breaks, and penalties have benefited some companies greatly, so that some in the scientific community have supported climatism. When scientists dispute man-made warming, attempts are made to keep them silent. One member of the American Physical Society said, "The global warming scam is the most successful pseudo-scientific fraud I have seen in my life as a physicist." To get the real side of the story, you can read Steve Gorham's provocative new book called The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Is global warming an imaginary threat? Is it authentic science or politics? Is it about the future of humanity or about money and power? At eagleforum.org, a blog with Phyllis Schlafly delivers the latest news and opinions. Add your comments to the Climate Change blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Monday, October 14th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. It is Columbus Day here in America. I am not certain why they would give this scoundrel a holiday all of his own. People who still believe that he is a great hero need to read their history, their accurate history. It is also Thanksgiving in Canada today, so happy Thanksgiving to the Canadians who are listening to the program. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. There you will see the names of every single guest that I've ever had on the program since October 23rd, 2010, as well as links to their websites. Just visit the website and click on the radio schedule button. Please visit also SpingolaSpeaks.info, a site that one of our wonderful, very talented listeners created. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. I was chatting with Clint Richardson over the weekend, and I would like to give you a quote. He wrote this, and I quote, "The real test of a truther is when he or she can change their opinion based on evidence," unquote. Alrighty, we will take calls in the second hour when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. By the way, Clint's program, his first program here on RBN as a regular host is tonight. And please look at the schedule for the time. Alrighty, our guest today is Dr. Jennifer Daniels. She is the author of Murder by Medicine is No Accident, The Lethal Dose, Why Your Doctor is Prescribing It. She also co-wrote, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? Her website is vitalitycapsules.com. Dr. Jennifer Daniels, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And as usual, you're going to be talking about a very, very important and influential kind of a thing, dosing the elderly. And I
only,
think
only for people who can handle the truth.
Yes. Whatever. All righty. Tonight, Central Standard Time for Clint's program is 7 p.m. All righty. So tell us what we need to look forward to, or what we are experiencing from the allopathic medical industry.
Yeah, I wish it was just the allopathic medical industry, but we will start there. So the issue here is dosing the elderly, and I think it's important to talk about it because by looking through this little portal, it'll help us understand what's really facing all of us. So if you're under 65, stay tuned, keep listening. I've got news for you, too. So what do we mean dosing the elderly? Well, dosing the elderly means giving the elderly a dose of medication. And the question we always ask about medication is, is it a safe dose? And the question is, it's a good question, but a safe dose is something, a dose, and this is a lay term, a safe dose is a dose that won't kill you. In other words, it's a dose that is less than the minimum lethal dose. So you'd like to ideally get a dose of medicine at which no one has ever been known to die. That's really what you'd like to receive. Unfortunately, for modern medicine, prescription drugs, the recommended dose, the standard of care, the dose your doctor is trying to give, is always more than the minimum lethal dose. It's one of those things. One example is aspirin. One baby aspirin a day kills at least 200 Americans every year. And they die from bleeding to death, or they die from delayed effects, such as kidney failure.
Really? And people think that because it's a baby aspirin that they can take one and be safe.
Correct. But it is a dose that's higher than the minimum lethal dose. Okay. So now this is the dosing we're talking about for people between basically 40 and 60 years old. Now what happens when you get older than that? Well, the older you get, the less functioning you have of your liver, of your kidneys, of your lungs, and so on. And so the minimum lethal dose gets lower and lower and lower. So a dose that might kill, say, 100 people who are under 65, that same dose might kill 1,000 people over 65. So the lethality of any dose becomes much greater because a person's reserve in terms of their ability to detoxify the substance or remove it from the body or adjust metabolic functions around the impediment to preserve life or keep the organism living is diminished. Okay, so now what we have here is we have the elderly who are in the medical system, and there is no reduction of dosing, by the way, for the elderly. So if you have, say, blood pressure medicines, an elderly person started out on the same dose of blood pressure medicine as a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old. You see where this is going, right?
Right.
Yes. So the dose of medicines that the elderly receive is more lethal. So how do we know that the elderly are being, murdered? We don't have to look far, and it's not a secret. If all you should do is look at the report done by the Inspector General in 2010. And in 2010, the Inspector General says that Medicare is aware that Medicare recipients are dying at a rate of 15,000 per month due to medical intervention.
Whoa.
Yet, all 15,000 bills are paid in full, you know, according to their contractual agreement. None of the 15,000 is any criminal charges ever lodged, either against the institution or the doctors involved. And Medicare doesn't stop there. They investigated very closely here. They said, well, you know, let's take a look at these cases. Let's just see what happens when a person dies. They found that fewer than 10% of the deaths were investigated by the hospital. And of the deaths that were investigated, the hospital determined what happened that caused the death and then failed to make any policy changes that would prevent future deaths of a similar nature.
Wow.
So now, you have to really get this in your mind. Then what the hospital is doing is committing anticipatory homicide. In other words, you have a patient who's died because of a possible procedure. You say, well, you know, we're going to keep this procedure in place. It's working pretty well.
Yeah,
we're going to keep this going because Medicare pays hospitals on average four times as much for a patient who's discharged dead than for a patient who's discharged alive.
Wow.
So when a hospital identifies a policy that consistently produces death, that's a policy to continue, actually, if you're looking at the financial perspective. And so this is really, you would say it could be shocking, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop there. So just for the sake of mathematics here, 15,000 deaths per month times 12 months, that's 180,000 deaths per year. That's a lot of deaths. I think there's only 14,000 homicides in the United States every year.
Wow.
And so we still haven't touched the real, you know, the big thing. We're going to get to the next one, hospice. Well, first of all, in order to understand hospice, you have to get a grip on what is hospice. Now, what we are told, this is, when I say we, I mean the unsuspecting public, we are told that hospice is compassionate end-of-life care, where a person is made comfortable and is not tortured with inhumane therapy that might inconvenience them as they are dying. That's what we are told hospice is, as the Mayo Clinic says hospice is. And it's for people where the physician determines, however doctors do, that the patient has 6 months. Oh, we have a commercial.
Yes, we do. All righty, we will be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000 during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
The AK-47 is known for being tough and battle-ready. Now you can be battle-ready with tough tactical gear from StrikeHardGear.com. Made in the USA, StrikeHardGear.com specializes in mil-spec quality tactical gear for your AK-47, SKS Mosin Nagant, and other Russian-style weapons. Visit StrikeHardGear.com to find chest rigs, buttstock pouches, bandoliers, shoulder bags, and other one-of-a-kind pieces of specialty gear you won't find anywhere else. Tough as nails and affordable. Buy with confidence from StrikeHardGear.com with our no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. After that, run it hard because you're backed by a lifetime replacement warranty. Use the discount code RBN and get 5% off your order. Pull the trigger on StrikeHardGear.com today. Strike Hard Gear.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Jennifer Daniels. She is the author of Murder by Medicine is No Accident, The Lethal Dose, Why Your Doctor is Prescribing It. Her website is vitalitycapsules.com, or you can also go to drjenniferdaniels.com. It'll take you to the same place. All right, you were talking about dosing the elderly, and someone in the chat room asked, so if I tell my folks to ask their doctor to tell them the minimum lethal dose of their cholesterol and blood pressure drugs, will the doctor tell them specifically for their age?
No, he cannot tell them because he's never been told.
Oh.
In fact, I can't even tell you because all I know, for example, for aspirin is that 81 milligrams day kill a certain number of people. So I can tell you for sure that's higher than the minimum lethal dose. That's the kind of information that doctors are getting, and you have to dig to get that piece of information. So all your doctor is told is what the protocol is. This person, these symptoms, these age, start this drug, continue this drug, add that drug, continue drug, add that drug, and da-da-da, patient gets sicker, but the hospice, so 6 months with, dead 6 months, okay, done, next.
Right. Okay, that's a scenario that we have to look forward to then if we don't.
So you could ask the doctors, is where is this leading? What happens next? You can ask them that question. But the minimum lethal dose, in medical school, we are taught the lethal dose, which is LD50. That's the dose at which 50% of all who receive it die. And so if fewer than 50% of people who are getting a dose die from it, and it's not considered by medical standards a lethal dose.
Wow, they just have a different way of looking at things, don't they?
Well, I mean, the doctors don't make this decision. The people running the show do. And this is what they tell us in medical school. It's not lethal unless 50% of those who receive it die. And when you think about that as a 22-year-old sitting in medical school class, you think, well, geez, 50% live. How could that be a lethal dose? You know, it's not a killing dose. Oh, okay. And then you put that with a 90-hour-a-week working with sleep deprivation, and, you know, sounds good.
Sure. Wow. That is really scary when you really look at the facts, and which you have done, and see who is dying and what they're dying from. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and this is a .gov website. This is not the only alternative stuff, and it's not special research done by the alternative folks to prove their point. This is a report by the Inspector General of the Medicare program.
Wow.
So this is not anything made up or fabricated. It's nothing the government would disagree with. It's because it's their own figures on their website.
Right.
That's why I try and stick to their figures and their information, because when you stick to their figures and their information, then we can get some uniformity of understanding, ask some different questions like, well, why is this the case? Well, how is this happening? Whereas if I go maybe use some Dr. McCullough or Andrew Weil stuff that they, who knows how they get the information from, not that it's true or not true, but it can always be challenged by the government saying, well, those aren't our figures.
Right.
So with this, these are their figures. So I'm not reaching. I don't have to reach. Okay, we're going to start with their figures and see where this takes us.
Right. You go right to the source. You're bound to get the evidence that you're looking for, the figures that substantiate what you're saying. And that's what...
They try to obscure this. They try to conceal it. You got to read the report. The report really glorifies this. This is a successful program. Medicare is great. Look at how we're looking out for our Medicare recipients. And aren't they glad the government's looking over everybody's shoulders? They're like, you look at the numbers, you're like, holy cow.
Yes.
I don't think I need that kind of help. The other thing the report mentions is that 24% of all Medicare patients admitted to the hospital experience harm. And of those, about 14% experience irreversible harm.
Really?
That's a lot. So if you go into a hospital, you're a Medicare person, you have a 25% chance, actually more than that, of experiencing harm. And what does the government do when you experience harm? They pay the bill in full, just like any other bill. They just pay it. And when you die, or you're murdered, and they have the chart, they review these things. You're murdered,
what a scam!
No problem.
What a scam!
They pay the bill.
Is.
And people are so excited, oh my God, I got Medicare. I've got government insurance. This is so wonderful. And, you know, you're walking into a serious meat grinder.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and with this new Medicare, the Obamacare, we're just,
yeah,
they're just adding to the numbers that they can get.
Well, what they're doing is they're lowering, like now they have this blank check to murder for the over 65 crowd, and they're extending that blank check to murder down into the 50s and 40s. And I'm going to later reveal to you why they're doing that, because there's a reason for that. And there's actually a goal, an age goal, that they're trying to reach. Now, I'll tell you where their facts end and my deduction begins. Just so you know what they say and what I think. That's a good line to draw. So let's take a look at the second branch of this program, which would be hospice. Now, Medicare pays for hospice, called end-of-life care, And this is something that, you know, cancer patients might use, or people with end-stage heart failure, end-stage renal disease. And in this program, the doctor writes a note saying the person has 6 months or less to live, and based on that doctor's prescription saying that, that in his estimation that's the case, the patient then becomes eligible for hospice, which is home care. You know, they all these services in the home for the person's convenience. The person can now access, you know, stronger painkillers and all kinds of things. And it sounds like really cool. But let's see how this really plays out in actual practice. This is a Kaiser publication about the San Diego hospice. And what happened was this hospice was taking care of, of course, Medicare patients, because that's what the hospice program is for. And the patients were living 18 months and more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so the feds, consistently, they decided they would investigate. And they investigated them. They accused them of fraud because their patients were living more than 6 months. They asked them to repay money they had received for care they had provided. And this caused the hospice to go into bankruptcy.
Wow.
So you have a situation where they're happily paying four times as much when people are murdered in the hospital. And when people fail to die in the hospice, they're penalizing and bankrupting and attempting to shut down the hospice.
Wow.
And so,
see where the motivation is and what they're really after.
Oh, yeah, that's the exciting part. That's where you really need to be able to handle the truth. But this hospice, Judy took care of 1,000 patients on any particular day. And after the investigation, they reduced about 600 patients because the government said, oh, you need more stringent rules of compliance. And when they had this bad publicity, how can it be bad publicity, right? They're being investigated for fraud because their patients are living longer.
Right. Oh, goodness.
So they hope they can stay open under the Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but they're not sure. And what has happened now is many hospices are saying, "Whoa, we're not going to admit people who are going have any length of time to live." But a third of all people admitted to hospice die in the first week, just by the way.
Oh, really? So.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we have a situation where the government willingly pays when people are murdered and investigates, penalizes, and accuses the people of fraud when patients live.
Oh, my goodness. I had one friend that was in hospice, and he had cancer. And I believe that he died probably within the time frame, the six-month time frame. I think he died probably within 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible what he went through. It was just awful. Oh, goodness. All righty. We do have a break. We'll be right back with our guest today, Dr. Jennifer Daniels.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
What do you need? You need Paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 Paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on Paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black Paracord, 1,000 feet, only $39.83, right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, CampingSurvival.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Jennifer Daniels. Her websites are vitalitycapsules.com and drjenniferdaniels.com. And I was telling you about the person that I knew that was in hospice, and I saw him go from a very healthy, robust person down to, oh, he must have lost, I don't know, 85 pounds. And his doctor, who treated him with chemotherapy, surgery and chemotherapy, kept saying, oh, yes, I've got a lot of hope. I think that you're going to make this. I think you're going to live through this. And kept telling him that. And all the time I was telling his wife, you know, why don't you try something different? But they believed in what their doctor told them. And that's what happened.
Yeah, so basically we've got this pattern going on. Now, the question is, why not prosecute the doctor for failure to accurately predict the patient's life expectancy? Wouldn't that make more sense? I mean, the doctor made the false prediction, right?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're going to penalize them instead. Let me tell you about doctor's ability to predict death. A doctor can predict death within the next day or maybe even week. Once you get beyond a month, though, nobody knows. And the accuracy of the prediction is just about zero. In other words, compelling an institution to produce a dead body because a doctor predicted the death is the same as ordering the institution to murder the patient within 6 months.
Right.
When your doctor writes you a hospice prescription, he's essentially put an expiration date on your life.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, many people, our relatives, like in your case, this man's wife, unknowingly aid, abet, and assist in the murder of their loved ones, either by giving the lethal dose of pain medication when they're instructed, or simply by standing by and encouraging their loved one to submit to this. And this is pretty gruesome stuff, so what could be the motive? Now, many people would say it's malice. I think we need to look to the money. Yes, look to the money. Let's take a look. Way back when, early 1900s, the U.S. government passed the Social Security Act, where it taxed Americans and it created a fund for retirement. And it promptly began to loot that fund. And in the 1970s, they looted the fund so well and it was so profitable that they created ERISA and invited private companies to join the party. Now, the ERISA is the Employee Retirement Insurance Security Act, which is just the opposite of what it really means. So what did ERISA do? Well, what ERISA said to the corporation was, you do not have to donate to your employees' retirement funds. Instead of having a defined contribution, which means an obligation to put money into the fund on a regular basis, you may now convert that fund to a defined benefit fund. That means you're guaranteeing a benefit in the future. And so if interest rates are high enough, the economy is growing, and you know the stock market, then you don't need to put any money in because the growth of the existing fund will more than fund the future obligation. And so obviously this led to corporations simply hiring the accountant with the sharpest pen who would make the most outrageous predictions, allowing them to not contribute to the fund. And of course, the money they did not contribute was instead used either for corporate executive pay, which was, of course, taxed by the government, or for profits, which were taxed by the government. But essentially, the government became a party to the looting. But the private company said, whoa, 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 back up, back up, back up. We are not going to join you in this looting unless you hold us harmless. We need a guarantee that once we loot these funds and give you your piece of the fund, that you will not.
beyond. Do you have the guts to be beautiful? Her website is vitalitycapsules.com. Be sure and sign up for the newsletter. So you've just reiterated the fact that the U.S. troops are not over there imposing or installing democracy and taking care of things, that they're over there to guard the poppy fields.
And not like guard the poppy fields, but to transport. I mean, the drugs are coming into the States on transport planes. I mean, this is big stuff. And again, it's not about oil either. Not about oil. You can't get nearly as much money for oil as you can for this stuff. I mean, and one drug addict gives all that he has, which is all of his earnings, steals from relatives, friends, and neighbors, and he easily can pony up $50,000 or more a year. And so it's also addicts our young women, beats the flesh trade. Each addict pays in flesh and hard cash, and the government collects 100%. And this pales in comparison to what the government might ever hope to get from people filling out a tax form every year. As you can see, $2 trillion compared to $22 trillion. So it's not oil. The troops are not over there for oil, but for drugs.
Right.
Okay, so what have we got going on here? What we got then is you got this addict, and as soon as this addict stops working overtime to pay his habit, he's of no use. And so, again, that's about age 55-ish or so, 55, 60, or heaven forbid he should go sober. So we need a plan to produce murder, homicide in our citizens at a more reliable rate than what we've got now. Enter the Affordable Care Act, which basically extends Medicare-type coverage to the rest of the population. And if we extend Medicare-type management and Medicare-type outcomes, then we can expect an increase of 1.3 million deaths once the Affordable Care Act is implemented.
Wow.
There's your end game.
Amazing.
Yeah.
When we were talking, you mentioned the shutdown of the government. I know mm-hmm. this is way off topic, but...
No, actually, it is on topic. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so bring that in.
The shutdown of the government is a test. You know, remember that little screen pattern you should see on your TV? It's the test, only a test. Well, shut down the government's a test to see if people are going to clamor for the Affordable Care Act and see if they're going to, if there is enough support for it that they can implement it under the guise of health care. And then, just like Medicare, the murders will go unnoticed and each murder will be treated as a surprise. And so that was the purpose. So if people said when the government shut down, oh my gosh, they shut down. We don't want the Affordable Health Care Act. And while you're at it, get rid of the TSA, the CIA, the FBI, the blah, 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 whatever alphabet you want to get rid of them, get rid of them all. I'm not following the news, so I don't know what the feeling on the street is, so to speak. But if people had said, you know, we don't care, we're okay with it, just go ahead and stay shut down, and people didn't even go to the website to sign up, that's the test. The test is to see, the shutdown is necessary, to see if people were ready for
tyranny,
this mass homicide that's next on the agenda.
Right.
It seems like everything's a go, best I can figure.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And of course, we really don't need the government to begin with, literally.
Well, it's becoming pretty obvious. But I will tell you this. I was raised, I'm African-American. Let's put that in there. This is important to know. So prior to 68, which is when the Civil Rights Act was passed, but prior to that, you know, blacks felt, we don't need government. What do we need them for? You know, they got the police occupying us and beating us up, and, you know, we can't get jobs or this or that or whatever. Just leave us alone, geez, you know. And then the Civil Rights Act came along, and actually that had to be passed, and not because of any riots or whatever, but it had to be passed because the government needed blacks to feel that they needed the government. And so when they passed the Civil Rights Act, and then they told blacks, we're going to make sure you get into schools because you're black. Never mind that, you know, you get to jump through all these hoops and whatever, just like everyone else does. But there's that perception, oh, my God, because I'm this black, I got into this college. Or the government, because of the government's help. Because of the government's help, I got this or I got that. For example, I went to Harvard. Now, you could say that I was black and stupid and really wouldn't have gotten in unless I was less for the government. But the truth of the matter is, I was admitted, and they somehow decided I was one of the 5% brightest most promising students they admitted that year. I don't know how they came to that conclusion, but they did. So what I'm trying to say is, what would have happened if Harvard had said, no, you can't come in? I would have just gone to a black college, you know. There were plenty of them. I would have gone to a black medical school. And still, the black medical schools educate most of the African-American doctors anyway. And so what's happened now with the Civil Rights Act, da-da-da-da-da, you have this whole population of blacks buying into this We Need Government Act, when actually, if you look at America now, it's more segregated than it was before 1968. So, you know, this whole Civil Rights Act thing was a smokescreen, a con game, and it's really pulled blacks in actually very well.
And note the time period, what was going on at that time, or just before that time, or, well, it occurred after that time, too. I believe that the blacks really are much more aware of the government tyranny. They're much more aware of, for instance, what was going on in Vietnam. They knew
exactly.
for the rest of us that
exactly.
that was a big farce. And
but
so
what was happening before the Civil Rights Act was that blacks who had that awareness were attracting the attention of whites. Whites say, hey, you know what? Those blacks know something. I wonder what it is. Let's go talk to them. And the government said, whoa, can't have this. And so they had to control the circumstances of engagement, which is what they did. And what happened then was blacks and whites never did get together, never did share that information. And now what you have is I was a silent black generation. We were told Martin Luther King did it all, shut up and take advantage of what he's accomplished, whatever that was, and you don't have to do a thing. You just sit down and don't do anything because everything has been done. And so basically everything was lost. I mean, if we ever had anything. And then you have my children, which I have to say, honestly, I'm embarrassed. My children who don't even realize there's a problem. But I don't mean the race problem. I mean the bigger problem.
Right.
I mean that the government is a predator. They don't see that.
I can't
convince them.
Yeah, I think that that's true for a lot of people, that their children just... they just don't get it because of their school indoctrination or because of the media
indoctrination. And a kid with student loans has a much better, much different attitude than a student without loans. Because a student with loans, those loans are from the government. So the government made it possible for him to go to school. And those loans are to the government, so now he's got to pay them back to the government. He is so entwined with the government that he can't even tell the government from himself.
Wow, that is such a shame. Oh goodness, what a shame! And of course,
it does. Good news.
Go ahead.
Good news, not good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this can all be avoided. It's no big deal.
Okay.
The first thing to do is, if you have health insurance, for God's sake, get rid of it. Now that takes balls, but you know, no pain, no gain. I don't say no pain, no gain, but this is actually pretty painless to do. But drop your health insurance. If you really think you needed it, just put the cash away. And I even recall a nice article saying that if you're paying cash, you can literally get 90% off your health bill. 90% off. And, you know, we can do another show on that. But the point is this. You don't need your health insurance. Stop your health insurance. All it does is pay for your murder in advance. And it's a threat to your life. The one... drop your health insurance. Two, if you're already on Medicare, do not use your Medicare coverage for your hospitalization. Tell them, hey, you know what? I'm not going to use my Medicare coverage. I'm not showing you my card. I will pay the bill in cash. They will actually refuse to admit you, which is actually doing you a favor. You didn't need to be admitted anyway. 85% of admissions are not necessary. You're escaping a 25% harm rate as well as an excessive death rate. So, that's another thing you can do. And as for hospice, if you feel compelled to go into hospice, realize that your doctor just wrote you a death sentence, a 6-month death sentence. So what you need to do is when you go into hospice, do not accept any new drugs. If you weren't taking a drug before you went into hospice, don't start it now.
Right. And, of course, then there's also the nursing homes, which are terrible.
That's
I hear so many
story.
Horrible things about nursing homes. All righty, we do have our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour with our guest today, Dr. Jennifer Daniels.